All right, here we go. What should I do and how should I do it? I got a problem and I gotta get through it. Who should I talk to? Who should I see? What book should I check out of the library? Yeah, but I don't read, so I watch some TV. I see what Hulu has to offer me. I got Netflix and Amazon Prime. I got more options than I got time. I just need a little distraction to keep my mind off my lack of action. I just need a little TV so I can forget completely. Forget completely.
Nice.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Life's a Binge. I am Jerry.
I'm BJ.
I am Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And we want to thank everyone out there for listening to our show.
Thanks.
You can follow us on all social media at Life's a Binge. You can check us out across all social media platforms.
Check us
places
out.
Like Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook.com/Life's a Binge. Life's a Binge@gmail.com to email us. Or you can call our voicemail line at 619-438-0532.
I could say it.
Go ahead.
619-438-0532. Boom.
Bravo. And patreon.com/lifesabinge. You can become a producer like Jess Jansen, first of her name, Breaker of Banks, and Mother of Dagos,
Tate Wallet,
Tony, and Todd the Rowe, Kathy Weintraub, or the couch potatoes out there like BJ and Jared.
That's it.
Just kidding. Mikey and David as well.
And the honorary bingers as well.
Patreon.com/lifesabinge. Become a supporter today.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess let's just go ahead and start. So go ahead.
Merry Christmas, y'all.
Yeah, yeah. Indeed. Take a big old Merry Christmas breath right now.
Life's a binge.
Right?
What's up?
What's up?
What's up?
Speaking of commercials, there's a commercial. What you didn't just hear off air was we were trying to figure out what Coca-Cola and Pepsi song commercial jingles were. For about 20 minutes.
vicious rabbit hole.
Took
yes,
a little while.
Yes. It was fun, though.
It was a real thing.
What's up? Well done.
We had the right one.
It's the right one, baby.
Did you ever listen to the Judgment Night soundtrack? Or do you remember the Judgment Night soundtrack in the 90s?
Negative.
Nobody?
Nope.
Nobody?
Nope.
So, you remember the movie Judgment Night?
Nope.
Okay, that's fine too. It was a movie in the 90s with like Emilio Estevez, and it was one of these like almost Escape from LA or Escape from New York type of things where they have to get through a gauntlet of, you know, or the Warriors, where they have to get through a gauntlet of urban troubles to get out. And but the movie was forgettable. I don't really remember it.
Well,
but
why do you expect us to remember it?
The soundtrack, though, was very memorable.
A banger.
The soundtrack was like all these.
God, that word.
all these rock bands and rap bands doing mashups together.
Nice.
Oh.
And
that sounds good.
It was. It's. I'm telling you, if you have Apple Music or any music service, Judgment Night soundtrack, you will not be disappointed.
Judgment
it's
Night.
It sounded like you wanted to say it was dope, and then you stopped yourself.
Beginning to end, it's super duper dope.
Yeah, okay.
So the, but Pearl Jam and Cypress Hill did a mashup, and it was called The Real Thing.
Ain't nothing like the real thing. Real thing. Ain't nothing but the real.
Huh.
That does sound familiar, actually.
I like it.
The song sounds familiar.
It's a great song.
Yeah.
It's a great song.
I like it.
And it's a good, the whole album.
Mikey, he likes it.
You would love it. So
nice. Let's see. What's up? It's Christmas. Christmas time.
Is it? Does it feel like Christmas time?
It does.
I got a tree today. So.
Oh, your mom's here. So
that
helps it feel like Christmas time.
Yeah. She's not only here, but she's literally here.
Here in the room. That's what
yes,
I was getting
I
at.
I am. So watch your mouth.
Yes. Okay. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Everybody was like, dang it, I really want to curse.
I can make no promises.
It's going to spare a storm.
I will do my best.
I will try.
And I will apologize. When we were little, if you cursed, if you said, I quote.
Right.
Did you used to do that?
No, I've heard you tell that.
Oh, you mentioned it before. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's just the silliest thing.
Yeah.
I quote. Yeah, that's fine then.
Yeah, it wasn't me saying it. Yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't saying it. I was just saying that somebody said it once.
So, it's Christmas time in the city. It feels like Christmas to me because I deliver 18,000 packages a day.
You're a Santa Claus.
Yep. And it's annoying, but whatever. So I'm looking forward to that being over.
Is this your busiest time?
Yeah.
I mean, it's got to be.
Absolutely.
By far. No,
well, and, this and then election time. Is,
all the mailers.
Yes, because we deliver a million mailers all day, every day. Yeah. Are the two busy times. So, like, Christmas, like November of an election year is just no fun for anybody at the post office.
So, is this Christmas different than last Christmas since you got the full-time regular gig now?
Yeah, I just do my own stuff instead of everyone else's.
But it's pretty much the same content, quality.
I just do less because I'm not helping everyone else.
Okay. But that's kind of good.
Yeah. The Wham song. I got whammed. We talked about it last show.
I haven't
heard the OG Wham
song? Not yet.
I heard it before you brought it up, so I wasn't.
Wow.
You already heard it?
I'd heard it before we talked about it last time.
Yeah. Does this count?
No, you have to hear the actual.
Oh, okay.
Hearing the actual song about it.
Yes. Let's see what's up. So I went to go buy Samantha some Christmas presents today because it was my day off, and I was like, ooh, I can go shopping by myself.
Yes.
Because Samantha's at work, and I'm like, ooh, I'm going to go. We're not doing anything major, but we're doing, like, small stuff to fill a stocking or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, ooh, I'm going to go to Home Goods, and I'll see if they have something that I know she wants. And then I went there, and I ended up spending $120 on nothing for Samantha and all for the nursery.
I mean, you know.
I'm the worst. I'm the worst Christmas shopper of all time. That's why I'm glad my wife to be.
Why are you the worst?
I just I get paralyzed. I don't know if they want this. I don't want this. I don't know. And I hate shopping. Like in general, like I don't like shopping at all. But it was nice with my mom today because, you know, I'm with my mom. But,
yeah.
But so that was fun. I don't want.
Did she make you try on pants that you didn't want to wear?
She did not. No, but we just had a few errands to run.
No, that's
shopping. Yeah, mom joke.
My mother would still be there.
I wasn't really expecting that.
I'm a man. I buy my own clothes.
No, Jared. Actually, she didn't.
And if she's gonna make me try on pants, at least make me try on pants that I would actually want to wear.
These would look nice on you.
No, they don't.
I was commenting today while my mom was while we were shopping. We had to run a few different errands, and this morning I got up and started doing the dishes and clean up the kitchen a little bit because I was gone all day yesterday, and my mom was sleeping, and I'm clinking the dishes and doing the dishes, clinking them and everything, and I remember as a child waking up on Saturday or whatever day, and that was the sound that you heard, like waking up was the sound of the dishes clinking and they were there. So it was this kind of weird role reversal that, like, I'm doing the dishes while my mom is in her room sleeping. And then when we're going shopping today, we're going through Vons, and I'm pushing the cart and she's kind of following. And which was exactly what we used to do in the opposite thing where she
thought you were going
to
say she was sitting in the little front.
That would have been.
I was pushing the cart and she was sitting in it.
She was dangling her legs.
Badly strapped in because those things are death traps.
Reaching for jars and knocking them over.
Sitting in other kids' pee.
Yes. Yeah.
Fun times. Yeah.
So, and I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hijack your what's up.
Oh, no. It was funny. I went to go buy something for my wife and instead bought nothing but things for my unborn child's bedroom. It's like, it doesn't even matter. I'm like, ooh, this would look good on the wall. And I sent her all these pictures. Do you want me to buy all this stuff? She said, yes. And I said, okay. But it's just funny.
Right on.
That's what I did today.
Yeah. Wow. Do I go with today? Well, today was a day. I also bought a bunch of things not for Christmas or us. Or like I got my brother-in-law's suit for the wedding. I went to like the suit rental place. Because he's the literal only person who's in the bridal party who doesn't already own a gray suit.
Right.
So I had to go like set that up for him. I went and I'm upgrading my storage because I had a hard drive fail.
No.
Bummer.
Fortunately, everything was backed up on like other portable drives. But I was like, this storage is like all kind of rinky-dink. Like those could easily fail too. So I guess time to do something legit. So I got like a full enclosure and with all like the.
That's your bread and butter too, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I got, you got to protect the bread and butter. Like I said, stuff's backed up online, but it's a pain in the ass to get it if you need it.
Yes.
Kind of.
Rich is a photographer.
It's a pain. For, and I've already cursed. I'm
for,
sorry.
For context.
See, I told, I knew it. I told you, I told you that was going to happen. Other than that, it's been, I had my bachelor party on Saturday and I'm still
nice.
Alive.
Oh, wow.
Slightly hobbled. I fell down. I'll tell the story because it's equal parts embarrassing and probably exactly what you would imagine would happen. We used my buddy's house as like a base of operations for all the other things that we did that day. And we're on the deck in the backyard and I'm not even that drunk. I'm a little drunk, but I'm not that drunk. And he's trying to talk to me about, like, you know, improvements he wants to make on the deck. Because he lives in New York right now, and his dad is, like, living in the house. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, I was thinking about, you know, getting rid of the steps and, like, leveling out this back part of the deck so it's all on the same level. What do you think? And I was like, I don't know. I kind of like the steps. Smash cut to 10 minutes later, Rich falls down the steps.
I hate these steps so much.
No. You should really flatten these
I've
things
I've always
out.
Said I hate these steps.
Yeah.
So it was a good fall?
It was pretty – well, see, I tried really hard not to fall, which, of course, made it worse.
Right. Oh.
And because more funny the, for everyone
Because
watching.
If I just fell, the beer, I would have fallen into the beer pong table, and then I would have been covered in beer, and then I'd have to go home and change, and it'd be a whole different thing, blah, blah, blah. Mm. So I tried real hard to not fall, and that, of course, made me fall, like, bang, bang, down both steps hard, like, pushing onto the bottom of my ankle. So all of this leg for days. It feels much better now, but the very next day, it was bad. But I didn't notice at the time because booze.
Was it a little slow motion?
Yeah, it definitely
was.
Was
it like
a bum, 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 no.
like a drum solo playing yeah.
no,
as you're
no, no,
falling?
No. No, it was very slow. And then we walked all over South Park and North Park, which,
you're
of
like,
course,
yay.
Made it so much worse. And at some point that night I did karaoke. I couldn't tell you what I sang.
Did you go to
you
Red Wing?
Yeah,
I went to
right
Red Wing.
One,
yeah.
You know, that's so funny because last night Tony was going to go to Red Wing and do karaoke.
That's really?
Yeah.
If he goes to Red Wing and does karaoke and does not tell me, I'll be mad because I live literally around the corner.
He was post because he takes classes at Grossmont, and so some of his classmates from Grossmont were going to karaoke.
Oh yeah.
And I saw you pump prop. Did you want to say something, Ma? No. Okay. All right. you let me know if you want to say anything, and I might prompt you. But so
I have to say though, Tony invited me to go and then forgot.
Ooh,
left you at home.
Oh,
we're not going.
Tony.
Oh boy,
fail.
Tony.
That's why he's the worst son.
And there it is.
Tony is the worst son. Worst son. Had to do it.
It's good. Are you still sore?
Yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's not. It's a very, like, now I have to do something very specific to really feel it anymore. Mm-hmm. But even just yesterday, like, walking normally, I was like,
ouch.
Yeah.
No fun.
Cool.
It's not like when you were 22 and you could fall, like, you know, 10
right.
feet down a flight of stairs and be like, ha, everything's great.
Right. Look what I did.
Look what I did.
And not spill your beer.
But, and not, right. For real. No, it's very different now. But we had a great time. We did indoor paintball in the afternoon. We were going to go skydiving early in the morning, but weather said, no, you're not, mm-hmm. which is fine. But we did indoor paintball, which is a lot of fun. And wear your safety gear if you're paintballing, guys, because I got shot
stings.
Right here twice.
And your in your own glasses?
Ow. I wasn't wearing glasses. I wore my contacts.
So you had no
protection? You're wearing like a full face
the mask.
Oh, you're wearing a full face mask. So it's like paint on both goggles. It's like, well, now I can't see. But it's like, man, it's a good thing I'm wearing this thing. Otherwise, that'd be right in my eye.
I'd be blind.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Indoor paintball. Where do they do that?
It's up in Kearney Mesa, right by Society Brewing Company.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's super fun.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it.
I've never painted.
I got a little GoPro on my gun so I can, like, see.
You have laser tag, though.
Yeah. I mean, I grew
that's
up
fun.
In the 90s. Come on.
I have laser tags.
I didn't, so.
There was
so
places called Ultra Zone and Qzar.
Qzar, that's the one that we had.
Yeah.
Yes. Isn't they're still Ultra Zone right here?
Yeah, on
North Rand down by.
Because, dang, that's fun.
It's so much fun.
That's so fun. That's Bree's birthday all the time. She always do the paintball. So.
Ultra Zone.
It was so much more fun than I would have thought. Like,
oh yeah,
this is so cool. Like, it's so enjoyable.
Yeah.
But speaking of not walking in pain, and good segue, I'm not walking in pain, which
good.
Is awesome. Like, all the errands we were running today, I was just like, throughout the day, like, I wouldn't have been able to do half of this, if that, before the surgery.
Yeah.
And, man, I feel good. I feel good, good, good. I'm walking around pain-free with no limp and God, just it's
so great.
So it's not, great. It's night and day.
Do you not have to use the cane anymore at all?
Way, like, yeah, past cane. Yeah. Yep. And not only that, I'm not really getting sore like I was.
You don't need the pain pills or not. You're just like
every now and then some ibuprofen. Yeah, but for the most part, yeah, nice. It's great.
Nice.
So that's awesome. So good. And we had my mom's 80th birthday.
Whoa!
Yep. What? Congratulations!
Happy birthday!
We're blowing some
celebration horns there.
So it's kind of been a celebration. Kind of
it's deserving of a second horn, though, for sure.
When somebody reacts that way to it, I got to like,
you know, I can hit this like six times if you want. it's been really, really nice having her here for sure, and I'm glad she's here with us today.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Like alive is nice.
Obviously,
considering she's had a couple of brushes where you know where it was sketchy. It was sketchy for a couple different occasions, and so celebrating her 80th birthday and having her here for the holidays. It's been
that's awesome.
It's been fantastic.
Yes,
that is great.
What a nice, really cool. Awesome number.
80. Yeah,
80 years old.
Yeah,
right.
And my dad turned 80, which is great because. I thought for sure, well, man, if I make it to 65, I'll be happy because the men on my father's side,
mm-hmm.
and then the men on my mother's side, do they make it to 70? I don't know.
No, not my, no.
No.
I don't know if any of them.
How old were Uncle Mark and Barnaby?
In their 60s.
Dang.
Yeah, they didn't make 70. They're my younger brothers, too. And my dad died at 55, excuse me.
55!
My brothers were,
sorry. Inappropriate. Sure.
55, Jared Heston.
Oh, okay.
He's got a Pavlovian response to that. Jared's basically a dog.
Yes, I am.
But make your plans to live as long as possible. My brothers both said they wanted to live to be at least be older than our dad at 55, and then... They died shortly thereafter. Mm-hmm. I think in their 60s, but come on, guys. You know,
take care of yourself.
That's right.
Just do it. Please, everybody.
Yeah. That was like one of the nice things about getting my hip done and, you know, going to the doctor.
Getting on
my blood pressure medicine and all that stuff. Just like, life is too precious.
Move around.
There's a lot to go.
Indeed.
A whole lot to go.
Indeed.
It's been great.
Sweet.
Oh.
That's what's up.
This just in.
With Rich Sublet.
There's a little unknown movie coming out this weekend.
What's that?
That you
new
may
one?
Have heard of.
Independent.
It's about this like laser swords and magic and stuff.
Boo.
Yes.
Is it Will Smith with a pigeon? Or?
Yeah, that sounds good. Star Wars Episode 9, The Rise of Skywalker is out.
Today.
You can be watching it right now as we record. Anyway.
I had an opportunity.
You could have. Yeah, you were
7 o'clock.
Are you saving it for with Samantha?
Oh, no. Somebody was like, I got a 7 o'clock ticket. You want to go? And I was like,
oh, no.
I got to record with my losers.
Record
my loser
podcast.
Friends who don't have tickets.
Oh, we're not going to be talking about the number one movie of the world.
We will be.
If you postponed
sure.
for that, I'd be like, yeah, that's legit. I'm not going to lie.
But I'll go Sunday instead.
That's cool. You're going Saturday.
Yes, I'm going Saturday at noon.
Mikey's going on Tuesday like a weirdo.
Next Tuesday.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's a good segue because I know Mikey loves the internet. If you care at all about spoilers,
I'm staying away.
Off the internet. Because even on things, on any like news articles in the comment section, don't read any comment sections because people are jerks and people will spoil the movie in places where they're not even talking about Star Wars and they'll talk about, you know, whatever.
Exactly.
I know nothing about it because that's...
That's how I am about it. Yeah, you're better about that.
I'm very good about that. But just be careful out there, guys. Spoiler mines are abound.
I've seen all the trailers, but that's about it.
Yeah.
The trailers look cool. Just the way they just kind of updated the look.
I've only seen one.
Oh, you haven't seen one?
I saw the first one. That's it.
Man, I just saw, because I'm watching The Mandalorian, they have the sneak preview of the
Oh, yeah, that's the one I watched.
And that one, like, just the colors and everything just is, like, a little bit different, but, and sharp looking, it looks really cool.
When we saw Knives Out, they had an extended trailer before that, and I literally put my fingers in my ears and went, la, 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 la.
I can't hear this.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it.
Cool. Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. I know you only watch one trailer, typically, for most things. Mm-hmm. Why is it that you watch the first teaser trailer instead of, like, trailer number three? Because, like, the teaser trailer,
I think it's mostly probably because there are no clues in the teaser.
Correct.
You don't get spoiled at all.
I feel Millennium Falcon. Great.
But I feel that for most movies, I can gauge whether or not I want to see it based on the teaser alone.
Yeah.
For at least historically, recently, I've been correct because there have been movies that are like, I don't know about that. And then it comes out and people are like, this is garbage. I was like, I knew it. So,
like the one you sent today?
Yes.
I was like, I didn't have time
to look at that. I don't know what it is. I saw you said Nolan, and I'm like, well, that interests me.
Christopher Nolan, David Tennant.
New Christopher Nolan
Not
movie.
David Tennant. Tennant is the title. Wow.
When I saw that, I was totally David Tennant as well. Yeah.
But that looks amazing. And that'll be the only thing I look at for that movie.
It looks like he's doing what he does best, which is great cinematography and messing with time somehow.
Yeah.
Where I'm like, okay, you do that very well. That's your shtick. Bring it on.
I like it.
Uh-huh.
In other news, Jack Black says he's retiring from acting after Jumanji. I was going to say Jumanji 2, but technically it's Jumanji 3.
Huh. Okay.
Which I'm like, all right.
Does he say anything why?
Huh?
Does he say why?
No, he just said he's moving on to other things.
Making more music.
More music. Yeah. Okay.
He's very Jack Black about it. Then the article that I read about it, he was very like, I'm probably done after this. It wasn't like a hard commitment.
He'll get. He's talented. He's super talented.
I mean, I think acting wise, the second Jumanji movie is probably one of the best things he's ever done. So if he comes out of this third one with like something similar, that'll be like, oh, maybe I'll stick around and keep doing those guys. You know, this is fun.
The Who farewell tour goes on for 40 years.
Exactly. But I'm excited to see that. But no other movie is coming out this week to me, honestly.
Yeah, Star Wars is it.
There's some other little like indie movie that I do want to see, but this Star Wars is just going to – it's Star Wars. Like,
you remember
how can
I not
go
see
– No, I don't.
It's got pushed out by Star Wars.
Which sucks, right? That kind of sucks.
Poor movie.
But I'll be the guy, like, you know, after the noise dies down, I'll go back and I'll look to see what else is out right now just so I can know and if I want to go see it, you know, for $5 Tuesday. Mm-hmm. But, like, huge temples like this, like, mostly – really now only this and Marvel movies have this effect, I feel, where just everything else just doesn't matter. Like, if you're going to the movies this weekend, this is what you're going to go see.
True.
Yeah.
At least if you're, like, in a certain group, certain age range.
It's the end. It's the end of it all, though. That's what's...
It's the end.
That's crazy. I'm curious to see... Yeah. Well, it's the end of the Skywalker saga, so to speak. Yeah. We'll see how that goes.
That was my segue into my next little bit of news, is that five major... Can you say temple? No, not for Mulan. Five major blockbusters next year will be directed by women.
Nice.
Yeah. Those movies are Mulan.
Okay.
Birds of Prey, which they're claiming is more relatable than Batman or Superman.
Sure.
I have like little notes about each movie. I'm like, okay, I don't know
about
that.
Sure it is.
Don't know about that.
Which one, I'm sorry?
Birds of Prey. It's
what's that?
The Harley Quinn vehicle, which isn't what it is in the comic books, but that's okay.
Right. Huh. More relatable than Batman.
Right.
Interesting.
Let's let you guys.
What's that?
Let's just
read that
for a second.
What's that thing I've never heard of? More relatable than who? Right.
Okay. The Black Widow movie. Yep. Awesome. Which actually looks pretty cool.
Yes.
And it has been confirmed that Robert Downey Jr. is part of that cast.
Makes sense.
Mm. As Tony Stark. Interesting.
I mean, that's the only person he could be in that.
So it's a timeline, clearly, where.
It takes place after Civil War. But before Infinity War.
That's interesting to put it out now.
Right?
I'm curious. I wonder if it was supposed to happen originally before that, like, and be one of the movies that came in, like, you know.
I don't know. I want to say no, because the whole, spoiler alert, Black Widow dies in
what?
I know. Sorry,
I haven't seen. I was gonna watch it tonight.
So like having that and then having her movie after that, it's like, oh, it's probably a bigger bit of a draw than releasing it in timeline
maybe.
Order. I would think. At least that's if I were in charge, Kevin Feige. I am available. That's how I would do it. The last one, of course, is there's two more. Sorry, Wonder Woman 1984, which if you've seen the trailer for it, looks pretty cool.
How would you know?
Because I've seen the trailer.
Well, wait a minute now.
But see, that's the only trailer I've seen for it.
Though. Okay.
That's the only one. I know there was one before that one, but
I'm
I didn't see it.
I'm curious about that movie.
I am too.
So it's set in 1984?
And it's they're leaning into the 80s part of it very heavily, at least what the trailer suggests that.
But there's people in that movie that make me scratch my head, go, how are these people in this movie?
Correct.
And I don't want to say anything other than that, but if you've seen the trailer, you can kind of pick up on that.
Yeah, if you see that trailer, you'll know, because they put it right there in the trailer.
But I'm like, wait, and it's not like a memory, or it's like you see this person all throughout the trailer, so I'm like...
I have theories about that, but that would potentially spoil the movie.
Right.
Because comic book knowledge.
Exactly. Stupid comic book knowledge.
Let me, I got a tangent on that, just because we're talking about 1984 and different time things.
Like actual 1984?
Tangent train.
So, we were talking about how when the show Happy Days came out, that when it came out in the 70s, it was referring to the 50s, so it was just 20 years earlier.
Yes.
That if Happy Days came out now, it would be the 90s, like late 90s, which is kind of a trippy thing to think about because it doesn't seem like it's that long ago. Like, when I think about watching Happy Days, it felt like that was a whole other world. Now, granted, it was before I was born, so maybe that has something to do with it.
Yeah.
But
I saw a meme that was like, it's crazy to think that 20 years ago it was the year 2000. It's crazy because 20 years ago it was also 1980.
I saw that.
You're like, right. It does seem like 1980 was 20 years ago.
I saw a similar thing BJ was talking about, that 70s show. It's like when that 70s show was released, it was X
amount
of years after the 70s.
Right.
So if we did that today, it would be a show about the 90s.
Yeah.
Let's make it happen.
That 90s show.
I'm a 90s show.
I am all about the 90s.
I love the 90s.
For sure.
My favorite.
Trivia, BJ. What was the theme song to Happy Days?
There was two.
Dang it.
He thought he was going to trick you.
I got you. I got you, sucker. Go ahead.
Never mind. So,
Bill Haley rocked
next
the clock.
Time.
And right. Then,
that was Happy the only season one. Right?
I think it was just that first season. Yeah.
The last one of those movies is Marvel's Eternals.
Okay.
And the interesting
are these
bit
characters
of,
we know or no? They're brand new.
They're not brand new, but they're not like widely known.
Have they been?
I mean, they are
not
widely known if you're a comic book
nerd.
They're
new to
they're
the
not,
movies.
New to, so they haven't been in any.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. New to the cinematic universe.
Yeah. Okay.
The movie is going to take place over 7,000 years.
Well, they are eternal.
An hour and a half long movie.
Yeah, I was gonna say, but to the Eternals, it's like
real time.
To the Eternals, it's like the 70s show.
Right.
So it's like right there.
It's a little bit of time.
Yeah.
Boyhood.
I read that. I'm like, what?
They've been filming this movie for a long time.
Very long time. They're using potatoes at the time. And my last bit of I can't believe that this happened, but I kind of can, is that the U.S. government briefly officially recognized Wakanda as a free trade partner.
I heard something about
that. On an official
that.
List.
I'm so glad you brought that. I was going to be my
that's
thing.
That's awesome.
People out in the world, Wakanda is, of course, the fictional kingdom from which the Black Panther originates. It is not a real place.
Wakanda forever.
I heard that, but they
Wakanda
actually
forever,
like
though,
set some like tariff
yes.
prices on
yes.
it and stuff.
Yes.
You know?
Government time was spent.
I'm not mad at that, though. I don't
I'm
know.
Wow. I'm kind of like, on one hand, I was like, that's kind of fun. Like, maybe if they did it on purpose, like, for the fun reasons.
Of course they didn't.
Then, yeah.
I mean, but they didn't.
You don't think they did?
Oh.
What do you think? What do you think?
Come on, BJ. Where are we? What year is this?
You think that they thought that they did. That
absolutely.
Wakanda was a real country.
Absolutely.
I don't think
I absolutely
so.
Do.
All right, we're going to have to look into that. But
okay. Look into it first.
If it, I mean, I can't say definitively one way or the other, but like.
Well, I mean, I don't know, obviously.
Right, but
that's where you're at.
All right, all right. I'm kind of like, it's got to be a joke.
For sure.
And it's good-natured stuff.
As soon as that news hit, then they should have been like, wasn't that funny, everyone? But instead, it was just like, what? Huh? Delete.
Yeah. Yeah, the response to it leads me to think
somebody
messed up.
There was not a. Ha-ha, we're in the now. Look at us. We
look
made
at us
a cool
in the
reference. We
right.
made a cool joke.
Hello,
reference.
Fellow kids.
Right.
I am hip. No, it was like delete, delete, delete.
Oops,
yeah.
What kind?
That
oh,
didn't happen.
Do you know what kind is not
it was happen? A tool created by the Department of Agriculture. So there's probably some one dude in the Department of Agriculture who's just like
a big
oh,
fan.
This is going to be funny.
Yeah. That's what I hope it is.
Teach you for not giving me my 0.1% raise. Look what I can do.
Guys.
I do have power.
And that's it. That's the news.
I like it.
Aww. Do you?
Yeah. And that's the way it was. What did you say?
I gave a little backup vocals.
Oh. Did you say the same thing?
Yeah, but I didn't enunciate.
Oh, I was like, sound weird.
Yeah.
But yes. Let's see. We didn't do an episode last week.
Nope.
So we didn't do Matt's movie review, but we do have one of those this week.
Yeah.
So let's listen to Maddie's movie review, if I can find the button.
And now, another installment of What Do I Know with Matt Warburton.
Hi, everyone, and happy holidays. I'm Matt, and this is What Do I Know? So, this year, since I'm a sucker for Christmas movies and watch them oh so much, along with my usual review, I'm going to tack on one of my favorite Christmas movies and why I like them so much. Whoop-de-doo, right? All right, well, let's get started off with a non-Christmas movie that I actually just saw in theaters. The tragic look into a kid in the movie business. I watched Honey Boy. Honey Boy is the story of Otis, a young boy in the entertainment industry, and his father, James, who brings Otis to and from the set and causes all kinds of problems in his son's life. In addition to being aggressively creepy to people or just being aggressive in general, he makes it a point to belittle his son Otis, letting him know how little he thinks of him. The movie happens mainly through the memory of adult Otis as he is arrested and put into a rehab facility to work through his emotional issues of his abused childhood. Shia LaBeouf plays Otis's father, James. Lucas Hedges plays adult Otis, and Noah Jupe plays young Otis. Wow, holy crap, this movie. It seriously wrecked me. When I reviewed Peanut Butter Falcon, I made a statement saying that I thought Shia wrote that movie. I must have been getting it confused with this one, because Shia LaBeouf not only acted in this, but wrote it as well. And it's freaking good. Also, in the other review, I mentioned that I used to be in the Shia LaBeouf hater camp and thought he was up his own butt. After seeing this movie, I regret even admitting that. One of the things that this movie tells you is that it's based on Shia's childhood. Otis is meant to be Shia, and James is meant to be Shia's father, Jeff. There is a lot of artistic expression in this movie, so I don't know how much of it is one-for-one accurate, but at the very least, there are things that they do focus on, which I believe are pretty accurate. In the movie, James has a lot of animosity for his son, Otis, because James was in the entertainment business himself as a rodeo clown and wasn't nearly as successful as his son, who in the time frame of the movie was a rising star. James also served in the Vietnam War, which definitely did a number on him. So wartime damage, along with career jealousy, throw in struggle with substance abuse, and you've got a pretty hostile environment. So the scenes are really intense, but the movie is so engaging and has a lot of heart. It really shows that Shia opened up, became extremely vulnerable, and poured his life into this project. It's rare to see something as real and personal like this in the Cineplex, so I highly recommend it. But hey, what do I know? Now, let's lighten things up a bit with the Christmas movie. One of my standards, as well as many other people's, I'm sure, is John Hughes' film National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Word.
Christmas Vacation is a classic for a reason. I always really love the moments of family quirks and the little comments that the grandparents say.
This mole on my neck, you think it's changing color?
No. Well, you keep touching it, it's getting redder.
I got hemorrhoids. Can you believe that?
Oh, Mother.
You worked really hard, Grandma.
So do washing machines.
Well, look, if you need any help, give me a holler. I'll be upstairs asleep.
Hey, Grizz. You're not doing anything constructive. Run into the living room, get my stogie.
Is there anything else I can do for you, Uncle Lewis?
It all seems so authentic, and I always find it so relatable. Another great aspect of the movie is all the family traditions. Going out to getting a Christmas tree, Christmas shopping, sledding, having family parties and dinners. They all really got that family holiday feel. On top of that, it's just a really funny movie. I would say the best in the Vacation series. It's easily the most quotable. Pretty much every line is a quotable joke. And they really did something with making this Vacation movie its own thing. The first movie was a cross-country road trip through the USA to a theme park with different vignettes. The second movie was basically the same, but in Europe. This time, they stayed in one place, but still kept the vignette magic with overdoing Christmas traditions in the typical Griswold way. And instead of encountering crazy characters in different locations, bringing the crazy characters home to you. The way that happens during the holiday. I always really enjoyed that the movie started out on the road in the car just like a previous Vacation movie, and even has the car flying off the road bit from the first one, but then smoothly bridges over to the stay-at-home Christmas movie that it is. It also has the classic Clark Griswold flip-out moments, sentimentalism, and physical comedy. I am a huge fan of Chevy Chase's physical comedy method, where he's not telegraphing that it's supposed to be a joke. Facially, he's almost downplaying it, which makes it feel more real and even funnier. So many great things about this Christmas classic. So, if it hasn't been already, be sure to put National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation on your holiday watch list. Until next time, I've been Matt, and this has been What Do I Know?
Thank you, Matt, for another great installment of What Do I Know?
All right.
Christmas Vacation is like the Christmas movie that I have to watch at Christmas. Oh, all, yes. All others can be missed, but
oh,
I have to watch that
That's
one.
A good topic. So, this is Christmas time. Mm-hmm. You saw the meme about rate your three, pick your three favorite Christmas movies.
Out of 12 or whatever,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But anyway, so what would be your three top Christmas movies?
Christmas Vacation's number one. Mm-hmm. Home Alone. Ooh. Probably Christmas Story. Yeah, probably those three.
Same, but Elf instead of Christmas Story.
Mm. Elf instead of Christmas Story. Yeah. How about you, Mikey P?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I was going to say that Fragile guy.
Christmas Story.
Fragile guy?
When he gets
Fragile.
The lamp.
Yeah.
Oh, Fragile.
Must be Italian.
Fragile leg guy. Right.
I will say, even though I didn't put Christmas Story at the top three, I say Fragile whenever I see Fragile.
Every time.
It has that effect.
You can't help yourself.
Can't. Yeah. I can't.
Okay, everyone's going to jump on me for this one, but I'm going to say Die Hard.
I'm not mad.
Yeah,
because it's just... You are.
Yes.
I'm with you, Mikey.
Christmas is not essential to the story. Uh-huh. He could be out there for any other reason.
But he's not.
And it could be anything
but
else.
He's but there he's for
not.
A Christmas party.
But it is a Christmas party. Ho, ho, ho. You know, now I have a gun.
All the underscoring is Christmas music.
Mm. Yep.
Just saying.
Yep. Just Hollis saying. Queens, Run DMC.
And I don't know. I don't have another like traditional one that I usually watch every
so
year.
So Die Hard, Christmas Story.
Yeah,
and then you don't have another.
Well, you know, probably the Rankin Bass stuff.
Yeah,
Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, Rudolph I should Frosty. Make that a tradition. Yeah. I love that movie. Yeah. So we'll call it that.
Yeah.
All right. You want to sit up a second, Mon? You could tell us your three favorite Christmas movies of all time.
Here you go. Into the mic.
Well, I do like Nightmare Before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh wow. But just because for so many years we watched It's a Wonderful Life.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, that's a good one.
And I have some, you know, just personal memories on that.
Mm-hmm.
And various versions of A Christmas Carol have spoken to me
about Christmas Carol's the
yeah.
best.
Yeah.
I'm gonna replace Home Alone with Muppet Christmas Carol.
I might
oh, there
that
you
too, actually.
Yeah.
Muppet Christmas Carol is a treasure.
It's my favorite version of the Christmas Carol.
Disney's
far.
Is a close second. I like
I was
the
about
Disney
to say,
one.
I like Disney
Disney's
too.
A close
yeah.
second.
The like Mickey Mouse one?
Yeah.
Or,
yeah.
Okay.
The Mickey Mouse one.
Yeah.
That's two, right?
I thought you
Christmas
guys.
Carol. A Christmas Carol.
Christmas Story.
Wonderful Life.
Wonderful Life. And what was the third one?
Christmas Story.
Did you say Christmas Story?
No, I didn't say
you say that at the beginning? Mm. Or no?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't
quickly,
remember a second one.
Quickly,
I
forget.
Third one,
oh, well, she did say I mean, she did say Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, Nightmare Before
that's
Christmas.
The
yeah,
one.
That's the one.
Yeah,
that's the other one.
Okay.
Yes.
So I got to go with my mom on It's a Wonderful Life. Like, to me, that's just a brilliant movie that speaks to you. And, like, so I think it just speaks to someone individually so strong about what their place is in the world and whether or not, you know, they make a difference and whether or not they're valued. And so the message to me is so strong. So that might be number one.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Christmas Story, for sure. It's just worked its way up to such a legendary status, I think, as a Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a tough call. Like, I need to see Elf again. I need to see that again.
Elf is good.
Elf is good. And I think it's better than I realized. Like, you know, like I didn't. I need to see it again. But for me, it's the Nightmare, not Night Before Christmas, but the Christmas Without a Santa Claus with Scott Heatmiser and Freeze Miser. Like, that's just like, that's just one of the strongest memories I have.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rudolph was always real strong too, but that one, particularly because of Heatmiser and Freeze Miser.
So, I want to talk about It's a Wonderful Life. Do we want to talk about that right now or after the
break?
You
do want to talk about it?
I do.
All right.
Let's talk about it right now. We're talking about it already.
Talk about it right now.
So Samantha had never seen It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And so I put it on last night, and we watched that movie last night. It's been a couple of years since I've seen it, but I've seen it multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
And before I pushed play, I told Samantha, I was like, you are going to recognize a lot of scenes in this movie, because any other movie that's taking place at Christmas, they're probably watching It's a Wonderful Life. She's like, really? I'm like, yeah, you'll recognize a ton of things.
Mm-hmm.
And then turns out she did. But as I was watching the film, it very much like White Christmas, because I love White Christmas as well.
I don't know that one. Yeah.
While watching the film, the only part that takes place at Christmas is the last 5 minutes of that movie.
Oh, my God.
The whole story of It's a Wonderful Life is all about George Bailey growing up. Oh, he didn't get to go on his trip. Mm-hmm. Oh, now he's running the business. Oh, now he's doing this. Now he's welcoming his brother. Then the whole crux of the movie, when it's Christmas Eve and Uncle Billy loses $8,000, he's going to go kill himself. And that's when Clarence comes down and he's like, let's see what life would be like without you.
Mm-hmm.
Then the whole rest of the thing takes place not around Christmas. And then the very, very, very end of the movie, he's like, I'm glad to be alive. Merry Christmas. And he runs down the street. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, your old savings alone.
And so how is It's a Wonderful Life more of a Christmas movie?
Well, just your telling of that, the story, just your recap gave me chills. Like, I literally was like, oh gosh, wow.
Have you seen it, right, Mikey?
Oh, lots and lots of times. Like, that, it's almost like a tradition for me, but it's like, I mean, I don't like go out of my way to watch it, but it's always
synonymous
it's
with being like this grand Christmas classic.
It's a Wonderful Life carries Christmas sentiment.
Yeah, I think it's kind of this has a lot to
for
do with
last
like the
5 seconds.
But like, I mean, the spirit of the season.
No, the point of the
spirit
movie
of the
is
season.
Yeah.
I think like the story really applies to the spirit of the season, and I think Jesus and Christmas time
giving
and
self-sacrifice.
Yeah,
and being
and
thankful
yes, exactly.
What you got
yeah,
and,
for sure.
You know,
yeah,
stuff.
And I think and a lot of times like during the holidays, and you sometimes more than others, you'll kind of find a little meaning in the holiday, and other times it's kind of just comes and goes, and you don't really feel anything. But that movie does speak to that.
And through the movie, George Bailey tries his best to be a good guy.
Right.
No matter
very,
up or down. Yeah, and I think that wasn't...
Feeling.
There is a resolution that maybe karma, or as they used to say, what goes around comes around. And I think that's why it's Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I just...
Whereas Die Hard has guns.
Right. But it was just funny watching it. I was like, yeah, you're about to see one of the like epitome Christmas classics, and then there's no Christmas in it. Like, except for the literal last 15 seconds of the movie.
Yeah.
Which is kind of ironic. That movie became the classic, like, it's the classic Christmas movie.
Right.
I mean, Miracle on 34th Street, also classic Christmas movie.
Mm-hmm.
But more people think of A Wonderful Life.
The Santa Claus.
Right. White Christmas. I love White Christmas, too, but, like...
Now, what's the story in White Christmas? Like, what's the plot?
Bing Crosby and Danny Kaye serve in the Army together. They get out of the Army and then form up a, like, singing duo, like, variety show act.
Then they bump into their old army, or these two sister acts, and then they're going up to perform in Vermont. When they get there to perform with them, they realize it's their old army captain or general's retirement hotel, only it's not snowing, so there's nobody there. But they're like, we'll get people to come. We'll do a show here, and we'll draw in the audiences, and then mm-hmm. they put on a show there, and then it opens up, and it's snowing at Christmas time. The end.
Cool. Hence the famous Christmas Vacation line. It'll be the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap dance with Danny effing for you. Okay.
Exactly. Yes. Mm-hmm. Since Bing Crosby tap dance.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm the only one at this table who hasn't seen it. So.
Yeah. I'm that's surprising to me.
I'll check it out.
That is surprising.
It's basically they were Irving Berlin was so popular and Holiday Inn did really well. Which, woof, I just saw parts of Holiday Inn for the first time.
Is that Marilyn Monroe?
Or no, that's Bing Crosby again. But there's a whole blackface scene in Holiday Inn, and it is crazy times. Let me tell you, I saw that, and I was like, woof. Lordy, lordy.
Yeah.
Man, oh, man. But anyway, the song White Christmas was so popular, especially the way that Bing Crosby sang it in Holiday Inn. Mm-hmm. They were like, ooh, we can capitalize on this in old Hollywood. They were like, let's do it again. And they took all of a bunch of his other songs and squeezed them all into this movie and tried to make a narrative out of it. It's like if you imagine nowadays what a jukebox musical would be. Mm-hmm. Where they're like, let's
you're
take...
moving out, your right. times they are changing.
Correct.
Your...
Where they're like, these are popular songs by one artist. Let's put them all in a show. They did that and they called it White Christmas.
Yep.
Interesting.
So
and we're
all...
still doing that.
Yes.
That's funny. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like the first jukebox musical where they're like, we can put all these popular Irving Berlin songs in a musical and let's make it make sense somehow.
People, and by people I mean people on the internet, are saying that they're hedging bets of whether or not Cats will be the next like Christmas movie that people like latch on to as a Christmas movie.
Nope.
I was going to say, according to Rotten Tomatoes, so far, not so much.
What? That movie's bad?
I think
I'm shocked.
Single digits, I think, in there.
I'm so shocked. Oh,
wow. It's because Cats the musical
is bad.
Is bad.
I've never seen it.
The
You've
story
seen it?
Is yeah. so ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's dumb.
It's so dumb.
But the music's good.
Some one song.
One song is good.
Memories.
Memory is good.
That's the only thing I know from the show. Memories.
And it's the song is good, but the song is a horrible message.
Yes. Well, and okay, and you say that's the only song you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe. I mean, maybe.
Sing the song.
Memories like the corner of my mind.
Wrong.
Butter, butter, whiskey, memories.
Nope.
Of the way we were.
Nope. Listen to your mother, BJ.
You're right. No, I actually, just I'm singing, I'm going, oh, that's the way we were.
Memory, yeah, all in the
moonlight. Right.
Now, what are the other words?
I can't tell you.
Exactly.
La, la,
so,
la, la,
good
la,
music
la.
By butt. Yeah. Like, there's one song that you kind of know. Yeah. Kind of.
Why did it run for so long?
Because
the visual
people
effects.
Have bad taste,
BJ.
Because
the public has bad
it
taste.
It ran for so long because Andrew Lloyd Webber's marketing machine is a masterpiece of the world. They took over Broadway. They took over the UK. Phantom of the Opera. Do you like Phantom of the Opera?
I've never seen it, but I did do a scene from it on Spirit of Puget Sound.
Sure.
The Phantom of the Opera
You've never
is
seen
there.
It. Okay. Do you know the other songs in that show?
No, I only know that song because we did it at the on the Spirit.
I
of
see
Puget
a trend
Sound.
Forming.
But so Phantom of the Opera is again.
Is there a popular song?
Super. Well, I mean, it's well known. If there's the Phantom of the Opera, there's Masquerade. There's All I Ask of You. All I Ask of Music of the Night is what you're thinking of.
Music of the Night, yeah.
Which is a good song, also. Yeah. Nighttime gently, softness and tender.
Mm-hmm.
But. Again, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber, and the marketing of it is fantastic. But that show is long and boring and stupid, and it's about like it's reverse Stockholm syndrome, where the guy is obsessed with this young girl to the point where he kidnaps her and then forces her to love me, or I'm going to kill your actual true love fiance.
Yep.
And then she's like, "I'm going to let you go, happily ever after."
Yep.
The end. Phantom of the Opera.
Super dumb.
But it's
didn't make you want to see the. All of the Paris Opera House, with all of those back rooms and the underground setting, rivers
yes.
and all
the yes. setting. The setting is beautiful.
The Lonchini one has that one too. You're just
yes.
like, wow.
I will give you that. Yeah.
Yep. The setting of it, how it takes place, all of it, and there's
the staging.
Cool, there's
obviously.
Cool special effects in yep. the show where he's coming through the mirror. That's a cool effect. They're going down a canoe
yeah.
through the river on stage. That's cool. Oh, yeah. How are they doing that? That's a cool effect. Yeah. The chandelier crashing down on stage. That's a cool effect. Look over here. Look over here. Look over here. This show actually sucks. Look yeah. over here. Look over here.
Look at all of our shiny set pieces.
Hey, don't you like people dressed up like cats? That's going to look cool, isn't it? Oh, yeah. That does look cool. And then you go and you see it and you're like, that was cool. And yeah. so you tell your friend and then they tell their friend and then they tell their friend. And then
and so
there's
one.
A TV commercial
so
that's
one.
Like Andrew Lloyd Webber's newest Broadway sensation, Cats. And so you heard from Steve that, oh, that was a cool show. And now you're seeing the commercial, go see Cats. And then everyone goes and sees it. And then they go back again because that was a fun experience. Only mm-hmm. it's garbage.
No wonder
that's
they
Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah.
Shiny,
entire.
Shiny, loud garbage. He's the Michael Bay of Broadway.
Correct. That's exactly correct. Yes,
wow.
I know.
Jesus,
now, Jesus Christ Superstar is okay.
And you know what? I can think of one song from that mm-hmm. that I kind of know.
And it's
Jesus
the title
Christ.
Track. Yeah,
it's the
title
Superstar.
Track. And I like Joseph and the Amazing Technical Dreamcoat. I like that one the most out of all of his. That's
did Starlight Express do well?
No. I mean, it did okay. But again, like
that
you
show's
said,
they were all hits. Bad. I mean, they were all hits.
Because
right.
his marketing is yeah. phenomenal. He has the money to just go like, here's a bunch of money. Go see my shows. Yeah.
Maybe that's why they were confident that Spider-Man was going to be a big hit. Like, because like we got all this look over here, look over here. We
yeah.
got Bono writing the songs.
Yep.
It's
yeah.
going to be great.
Yep. And yep. it was not. School of Rock is Andrew Lloyd Webber, believe it or not.
Dude,
and
School of Rock is bomb.
That's a fun mm-hmm. show.
Well, actually, I haven't seen.
I don't
seen,
know if he did the movie, but.
Yeah, yeah, and the play, I can't say because
exactly
they have a bunch.
Same.
But don't they have, like, they have additional, like, original songs.
Yeah,
for
really. Which Andrew Lloyd Webber did.
So, and he wrote, it off the script of School of Rock.
Yeah.
That Mike White, I believe, wrote.
Correct.
So.
Which is, I mean, that show was fun, but.
That show's great. I love that show.
But
the movie.
But again, it's. Like you said it perfectly, he is the Michael Bay of it's like this looks cool and people want to go see it
yep.
and then they just run forever and ever and ever and ever. And when you're sitting there and you go to New York and you're at Broadway and you're at the TKTS booth and you're like, waitress, what's that? Phantom of the Opera, I've heard of that.
Right.
I'm gonna go see that.
Yeah.
And or ooh, Cats, I've heard of Cats.
Yeah.
That's supposed to be good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone says so, so then you buy tickets to see Cats and you don't see, like, say you never heard of Hamilton, right?
Right.
And mm-hmm. you just show up in New York and you're looking at the thing and Hamilton, and then you pick it up and it's like exploration of the founding father, Alexander Hamilton.
Boo.
And then you're like, Cats, a fantastic wild romp,
yeah.
people dressed
Andrew
like Lloyd
Cats. Webber's
da, da, da,
cats.
Andrew
Lloyd
right. Webber's
right.
Cats.
A name that
you're
even if you're not Broadway savvy, you have probably heard. In relation to mm-hmm. Broadway theater.
Right. So as a tourist, you're going to be like, ooh, let's go see Cats or Phantom or one of these other Andrew Lloyd Webber things instead
right.
of Hamilton. You
right.
know, and that's how,
right.
it, ha- and
I
that's
get that.
How it happens, yeah. which is crazy.
Crazy.
I don't know how I got on that crazy tangent. Oh, mm-hmm.
Cats.
Cats. Right.
Marketing is everything.
Yeah.
That's right.
Marketing is everything.
It's true. But let's take a quick commercial break.
Commercial
enjoy
break.
Memory from Cats.
After these messages,
yeah, you kinda have to.
We'll be right back. So what you watching?
I'm watching a lot of Christmas movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm watching Mandalorian.
Mm-hmm.
And man, they released the newest episode today, which is Thursday or the
Wednesday,
which is crazy because it comes out on Fridays. But they're like, let's get this one out before, which I don't understand because
they didn't want it to be out during
the movie.
I
just don't get it.
I've heard rumblings, and I don't know how accurate it is. Total rumor.
Sure.
That there is something in the episode that might tie in with the movie.
Really?
But I don't know that. I don't know how accurate that is, but that's why I think that's why they wanted it out before the movie.
I'll have
came
to watch it
out.
Again. That's, well, I guess I have to see the movie.
That was my guess because it was original. I mean, it was slated to come out this Friday, and the movie comes out this Friday. So it's like weird that you put the second to last episode out right before the movie. Mm-hmm. But having watched the episode and having not seen the movie, no idea how that's supposed to tie into anything, because maybe the very, very end of this episode, maybe. There might be characters or something.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm thinking.
But who knows?
When we figure it out, let's address it, because I'm really curious, too. Yes. So,
well, hopefully our next episode will be Star Wars, I hope.
Yeah, that's the plan, for sure.
Because I skipped over the Phone Army segment, where good friends of the show, Allie and Jeff.
Oh, I told them that it might not be. I said we might not use it this week.
Okay, good.
But I said feel free to do whatever you want.
Yeah, so
they're calling it.
They're doing good, the LCAP Star Wars movie marathon.
Yeah, if listeners remember,
on nine of them
during when we were getting ready for Endgame, the Avengers finale. Allie and Jeff went to a. Was it how many days in movies?
I think
was it three days.
Yeah, it was like over the course of 3 days, but they watched
every single Marvel movie in a row,
which is crazy.
That's
it is crazy.
This is only nine. Like,
it's a little bit more
doable.
Yeah, you could do it in a day.
Oh, it might be more than 3 days.
I don't want to do it
because this is nine movies, and I think they're doing this in 2 days.
Yeah, but I think they're spreading it out. And
I think they take breaks. Yeah, they take breaks.
And I don't know if they're doing all. Like, I don't know if they're playing Rogue One or Solo or those. I think it's just.
No, no, no. It's just the nine. True. Just
right.
The nine.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
Sextology or whatever.
Yes.
So if you recall, they did a call in segment for that.
Yeah, I remember.
And it was cool. It was fun.
They did that for these two.
I don't know if I could sit through Attack of the Clones again.
The story's good.
See,
it just
I think.
It looks like poop. Attack of the Clones' story is good. You just remember the bad parts about, like, Anakin Skywalker stinking.
There are so many of
them.
Bad.
I have until Tuesday. I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to watch them all.
Nice.
And that way it'll help keep me away from the internet.
Are they all on Disney Plus right now? Everyone. Mm-hmm. All of them are on Disney Plus.
Okay. Last Jedi is not.
Because that's on, like, Netflix.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Netflix still
they still have a contract for it, so.
Like, I'll watch The Force Awakens and The Last Jedi again, but I'm not watching all of them. I've seen those movies so many times.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's no real reason to watch them all again.
Ooh.
Well, I'll watch the three original ones, 4, 5, and 6. For some reason, I just hate calling them that for whatever reason.
4, 5, and 6.
Yes. Yeah. Like, because those are 1, 2, and 3 in my opinion.
Yeah.
Prequel. But anyway, I don't need to see these, but I do need to see the three ones that I poo pooed on for the last several years. So
the new ones?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The new, yeah. Well, wait a minute. No. The newer ones I kind of like.
The prequels.
I'm like.
Right.
I'm right about here with the new ones.
The new ones I kind of like.
The old ones I'm like, I love. I enjoy. You know, nostalgia and youth and all that. Like, because if you watch the old ones, like, there's some parts of those that aren't so great, too. Like, they're not perfect movies by any stretch. The prequels are, they're offensively stupid. Like, aggressively bad. All
right.
Look at me, I stepped into poopy!
Okay, now that for sure. Like, to me, like,
you know?
that when I watched that the first time, the second he appeared on the screen and went, Miso, meh, meh, meh.
There's a million and one things.
I was like, what in the world is this?
If you, like, turned off your Star Wars fanboy brain, which we're all probably capable of doing now, having seen those movies so many times, and really watched them critically, you'd probably hate them as much as I do. Because there's so many things about these movies that don't make sense. And I can give you, like, I don't know, 10 in the next 5 minutes if you really wanted me to, but I'll just give you a couple. Number one, you're sending Jedi warriors to do a negotiation with a potentially hostile power. Okay, that's stupid. We're going to kill these Jedi, so let's gas them in this room. How do you send gas to one room unless it's a room specifically designed to gas people? Like, you're just sending gas in the ventilation system. Wouldn't it just go everywhere? Three, why open the door at all if you've gassed the room? Just leave them in there for, like, I don't know, a day or two. No, open the door and shoot at them.
You know, I'm going to see this movie again because I don't remember any of that.
That's just in the first 5 minutes of the movie.
I remember Darth Maul being really badass.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
in the fight where nobody swings at an actual potential lethal striking body part, yeah, that was badass. Look at this; it's shiny. Look over here. Look
cool.
over here.
Like Darth Maul looked unbeatable. Like, right? Like, and so it seemed unrealistic that he would lose. But terrible. Have you watched? You've watched Mandalorian?
Yes,
I have.
Did
not.
You notice like, that one dude was like? So is he a Maul or something? Is that the race of? I don't. I'm not a big enough nerd.
I do not know the answer, but I did.
But it's
notice.
Clearly it's noticeable. Yeah. It's like, oh, that's Darth Maul's.
Yeah, he has horns out of his head. Right, exactly.
Neat.
Yeah.
Yes, I agree with you, but the underlying stories are there, like the learning about the Trade Federations and learning about the Clone Wars and learning about these things are that it's there. The way that George Lucas tried to shove all of that into movies wasn't there. So I can appreciate the prequels for the fact that the story is good. I like the story. It's just not done well. But this isn't Star Wars, so we're talking about that next time. Yeah, exactly.
Brand new one. So get out and watch it. Get out and watch it because we're talking about it next week.
The Rise of Skywalker.
But Mandalorian is real good.
Mandalorian I'm really enjoying.
I really like it. Now, a lot of people I've heard from Well, not a lot. I've heard on the internet and from a couple of people in person
on the internet
that they don't like that nothing, quote, happens. They're like, nothing's happening. Huh? And it's true to an extent. But I'm like, there's multiple seasons. This isn't a movie. This is a TV show.
Right.
And it's a serialized TV show where it's like, say you watch Law and Order. You can understand the characters and like, ooh, that person has a relationship to that person and that's cool. Mm-hmm. And, oh, no, that guy just left the show. That's a bummer. I liked him as a character. But you turn on any episode of Law and Order, you're like, okay, let's see what happens this week. Let's see what crime they solve this week. Mm-hmm. And so this show, Mandalorian, is a serialized show where there's an underlying storyline so far. But at the most... For the most part, it's let's see him get out of this scrape or
situation of the week.
I'm like, I love it.
I love it too.
It's handled very well.
I love it, and I find myself squealing. Ooh, the Mandalorian is so badass. Yeah. He's so good. He's awesome. It's the
situation of the week style of TV storytelling has kind of fallen by the wayside to like the larger character study, like huge overarching plot.
Binge-worthy stuff where you want to see the whole character arc going through it. Right, where this is like, let's see what bounty he's going to go after this week. Mm-hmm. Oh,
that's cool. I
like that. It's fun. Yeah. Like, it's just it's a space western. It's Firefly.
It.
Like,
oh, you haven't watched any of them? Really? Yeah. Really?
I'm watching a million other things.
That's why I thought for sure you were lying. So many like, I was like, you are sitting on a throne of lies. You have watched Mandalorian.
I have not watched it.
You're missing out. Yeah.
I can actually say that that's true.
Yeah. Good for you. Look at us, you guys. Jared has watched a show.
It'll still be there.
Looking at Rich.
I haven't had Disney Plus yet.
You've been watching it, Mikey.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, heck yeah, yeah.
Loving it.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like, was there any doubt?
Right.
So I've like assigned Timothy Olyphant to the Mandalorian, like his cool style, like his cool, like justified style. And he's just... His voice, too, but it's not him. It's some guy named Pedro Pascal.
Correct.
Well, I don't know who that
some
is.
Guy. You don't know
don't
him
know
from Game of Thrones?
Oberon Martell?
Game of Thrones?
Put
who?
Some respect on that
Oberon?
Name.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who that is.
No, you don't.
Yeah. Oh, he fought the mountain.
Okay.
Okay, yeah, he knows.
You had that look of like, uh-huh.
Right.
Oh, I know who that is. Yeah,
that's one of our bigger laughs.
My favorite
like,
guy.
Recording with Jared.
Man, oh man.
He's like, oh, you remember this, don't you? And I'm like, yeah, I do. And he starts talking. I'm like, I do not,
man.
Look at my memory. Just coming through for me.
So. I love him. Yeah. Like he's a. Fantastic actor.
Yeah. So, and that whole his whole character. He chews the scenery in Game of Thrones.
He'll be in Wonder Woman.
Well, and in like the cinematography of Mandalorian is so good, and the underscoring and everything, in the fact that you don't see the guy's face, and yet you always know exactly how he's feeling and what is happening in his mind. And you can't see his face. And that's a big, like, you can give props to the actor all you want, but not when you can't see his face.
That's direction.
Sure you can.
Yeah,
no.
I think it's direction.
You can't. He doesn't shrug. He doesn't slump his shoulders or, like,
there's
oh,
a little
I'm sad.
Bit. I mean, like, yeah.
He
like,
doesn't. But the, it's all in the way that
it's
shot.
It's music
and
the way it's shot. Yeah.
And, like,
and
it's
him a little bit.
It's
but...
a close-up of a emotionless mask. It's a close-up. And the way he, like, turns his head just slightly with the, like, soft underscoring music, it's like, oh, he's contemplating and he's kind of emotional right now. And
I mean, yeah, that's still an actor choice, though.
It's
you
it's both.
Understand when you see it. I don't think it's the actor at all.
Would you say that
well,
about V for Vendetta?
You hear it
or
in his
2012's
voice,
Dread?
But he, when he's not talking.
Yeah, but I mean, but you know, you do when he
I would
is
say
talking,
it's
though,
90% cinematography director and maybe 10% actor. Mm-hmm. And I'm an actor. Like, I'm not trying to take anything away from him because the other things that he is doing when he's, like, being physical and delivering dialogue and everything, he's great. Mm-hmm. But the emotional aspect of the show is all in the cinematography and the underscoring and the direction of the show.
I'm tickled pink with it.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And I'm in a dilemma because, I hate Disney.
You don't. How much of Disney's products do you consume?
I
hate Disney's business model. Like, I hate the yeah.
But
we've already covered all that. Yeah,
but
how
you're
much
addicted?
It's but it is good. It is good. Oh, I watched Song of the South with my mom.
Oh,
yeah.
What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, I'd seen it once when I was very young, and then when my kids were very young. And when my kids were very young, it was in a black neighborhood, and they were going to see it for the Uncle Remus stories. In the meantime, I'd read about that. And it's really, you have to kind of think of where people are coming from. And Chandler Harris, who wrote the Uncle Remus stories, was really trying to honor the stories that he heard from black folks, slaves, and otherwise around at night. Mm-hmm. And he tried to copy that dialect. And so he's been excoriated all over the place for that. And then when I read that in doing studies, anthropological studies kind of thing, that in African West African stories, folk tales, the rabbit is usually the hero. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting to watch. And it was just
nice.
Kind of fun to watch. BJ was very upset about the tar baby. And I just had somebody, a teacher, read that to me when I was very little.
Right, it was just a term. Right.
Yeah,
it was just a term.
60 years of being more woke, about it. And the same with lots of things, so. Sorry if you can't hear me.
Yes,
sure you hear me.
I'm hearing you.
What?
What?
Yeah, but yeah, that's, but one and watching some of those early cartoons, do you guys ever watch Stephen Colbert at night? He does pantomime, and you always see him. He'll pantomime drinking something, and he'll put it down, and what's his name, will play a little boop or something to put. They didn't follow those rules in The Three Little Pigs and some of the other little stories. Is they pick up a saw and then they go dance around and then the saw isn't there and then it's back or whatever. A bunch of those. And I thought, that really bothered me.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
No, that's one of the main things they teach you in pantomime is to know where you're surrounded. Like, you've just established there's a bar here.
Yeah.
There is always a bar here because now the audience knows that there's a bar here. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I'm with you on that.
And if you're doing something and then you can't go away, you got to boom. Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah.
Cannot forget your objects. What's worse, which is even worse for me, is that this only happens really with live theater. This doesn't happen so much in movies because people are very diligent about making sure that someone is always watching and that you don't have objects where they shouldn't be and actors aren't interacting or not interacting with things that they should or should not be interacting with.
Right.
Like when I go see a play, like this is where I have the hardest time like not being hypercritical coming from a place of knowledge because I've spent the vast majority of my life in, on, around, above, hanging over, like around the stage.
Correct.
And it's just tough to not notice every little thing. My biggest pet peeve is when an actor drops something on stage that they weren't supposed to drop, and then everyone forgets that thing exists.
It just sits
and
there.
Or they like step over it, yes. And it just sits there the whole rest of the show. I'm like, someone be a person in this world and interact with the thing. Like, it's still there. I can see it. No, but I can't take my eyes off it, and it ruins everything for me.
I love when that happens. Like, somebody's wearing a feather boa in, like, the dining room scene, and, like, a feather falls off.
Right.
And then, like, the next scene, the, like, police officer goes, huh, a feather. Or just literally references it.
And like, I'm like, yes!
Right.
Ooh, like, you.
Yeah, thank you for being an actor. That anyway. As far as continuity errors and stuff, like, people go off the rails with continuity in movies and stuff. Or, like, there's a Starbucks cup in Game of Thrones. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Or, oh, he was holding a plate of shrimp in that shot over the over her shoulder. And then over his shoulder, he has a cup of, you know,
the odometer on the DeLorean is all over the place.
And then on the next scene, he's back holding a thing of shrimp. Yeah. And it's like, okay, people, I understand that it bugs you.
Yeah.
It shouldn't bug you. You should, haha, that's funny to point out. Because I always can usually point out the continuity stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But movies are difficult to make. I don't think anyone, I mean, the outsider person that's going like, he was holding shrimp and then a cup and then shrimp again. What the heck, Disney? Why would you, I can't believe you let this happen. It's like, do you know how long these people have worked on this movie? Yeah. Do you know how many hours?
Some and poor editor was take, in the room and it's just like, I just gotta get this done.
Well, and maybe the acting take of the person that was delivering the lines was way better when he had the shrimp in his hand.
Right.
And then his lines were way better when he was accidentally holding the cup. And it's like, well, guess what? The story's way more important than what's in this stupid guy's hands.
Right.
So we're going with this. Yeah. And we know that there's
unless a continuity
thing.
Unless whatever's in his hand is like integral to the scene in some way.
And so you have to let the continuity stuff slip sometimes when it doesn't affect the quality of the movie.
I'm with you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It is fun to point them out, though.
Yes. Because it happens a lot. Yes. Still, even.
Right.
There's a great one in Avengers Endgame where, like, Ant-Man and the Wasp have to go turn on the time machine van. And they say, oh, it's going to take me, like, 10 minutes to do that. And then in the exact next action shot, you see giant Ant-Man in the background punching a giant alien thing. And it's like, but I thought you were
you're in a van right now.
Right. Like, how did that happen?
That's funny.
It's like, oops. Somebody saw that. It's like, oh, no. Well, I can't use a different shot because that's the shot we've got. So.
And we spent thousands of dollars to make that shot.
Like, you know what? Whatever.
Exactly.
It's fine.
Exactly. What else
I watched Charlie Brown's Christmas last night.
That's a good one.
Actually, they had two of them. They had like that one with the meaning of Christmas, and then the second one, which was like seemed like it was made in the 2000s.
Yes. Like, so
was it? I don't know. But it was like, man, did you watch the same thing or?
So when I think Charlie Brown Christmas, I think of the meaning of Christmas and
the little small Christmas tree.
Yep. And you fix it. Linus, this is the meaning of Christmas,
right?
Yes, and because somebody bought my brother or mom bought it and put it in the movies thing that we share, the app that has all the movies.
Right.
And Samantha played it, and I was like, that was fun. And then it kept going. And I was like, wait a second. And so it went into that thing that you're talking about where I was like, I've never seen this before.
And the animation's different.
Yeah.
It's like it's a different style.
I had never seen it, and I didn't watch it.
It doesn't grab me. Like, it doesn't grab me like the old ones do. And the original ones do.
I've never seen that either.
So,
did you watch
any of them?
I've seen the original.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Come on.
Did you watch that? The It's Christmas Again.
Did
Charlie
we watch
Brown
the whole thing? I don't remember.
I was just kind of bummed because the wah 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 of the adults in the original one. It was. I can't even get out an imitation of that. It just didn't have the same character.
It
wasn't bad. Yeah, wow, 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 wow.
That's close enough.
I didn't understand that as a kid, and it kind of drove me nuts. Like, as a kid.
Like, why are they doing that?
Yes. So I was like, what in the world?
Because
then as you get a little older, you're like,
stupid.
Yeah,
we don't need to listen to it.
It's a kid's world. Yeah.
They don't know anything
about
being a kid.
So do you did what I did and didn't
pretty
watch
much
the,
yeah like it was kind of forgettable you know after the first one ended I thought these were half an hour you know and then like it kept going and then I mean it ended and then another one started and it was just kind of I was like
nobody said the Grinch for the top Christmas things now see I don't think do you like
I enjoy
cricket
it's just a cricket let it be
I'll kill that cricket
All right. You guys talk me into it. You're lucky, Cricket.
The Jim Carrey Grinch movie. Are you fans? Not a fan.
Meh.
I don't think I've even seen that all the way through.
Okay.
Yeah. Mainly because I have such a place of affection of the original.
The cartoon.
Sure. Is like half an hour or two, I think, probably.
Yeah.
I enjoy the Grinch, the Jim Carrey one. Mm-hmm. It's fine. I would prefer to watch the cartoon. And I think that's why it doesn't make people's lists, because it's more of a... it's a special. Like when you think Christmas movies, you don't think of The Grinch, right? Or Charlie Brown Christmas.
No, I'm thinking like feature length stuff.
And you don't necessarily think of Rudolph or Frosty the Snow. You think of that as a complete series, the Rankin Bass stuff.
Right.
It's all in Christmas canon, but it's not.
Right.
You know.
So The Grinch, the cartoon, is, I don't see this movie.
So are you aware that in the original one, you're a mean one, Mr. Grinch, that whole solo part of the bass voice?
You're a mean one.
Do you know the name of that singer?
I do not.
Oh, man.
Because they left it out of the credits.
Oh. What?
I didn't realize it until they showed it.
No.
Oh, my goodness. Let's see.
I'd be furious if that was me.
Yeah, no kidding.
I know it, but I don't know it.
Yeah. Okay, good.
Do you know?
No, I don't.
No? Oh, does anybody know? Does the internet know, Mikey?
It's time for me to look.
Find on the internet.
It's one of Mikey's duties is to have a computer on hand.
Find it out.
And anything that we don't figure out, he figures out on the internet.
What a bummer. Like, if that happened to you, like, you're uncredited for something, like, in the moment, you're probably like, whatever, no big deal. But then that thing becomes this
legendary
phenomenon.
Isn't it?
You know, I was in that movie.
I'd be
like, sure you
were. Sure you were, but
I really was.
No, listen.
You're a mean one.
Yeah, right.
Isn't it the same person, the narrator?
Thurl Ravenscroft?
Yes. That's the right name.
It was sung by the film's narrator.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, good.
So I got a little bit of credit.
See, I knew that.
Yes. Good. There we go.
What else anybody watch? Rich?
I had an unintentional bad movie day. I scroll through HBO on Amazon. I'm like, I'll see what any new HBO movies are out. And I watched Hellboy 2019.
I started that.
And you stopped it.
I didn't make it through.
Yeah.
It's something else.
I bet you didn't make it through.
It's something else.
It's, apropos, fiery hot garbage. This is one of the worst movies I've seen. That was made recently anyway. Like, not to say the worst movie I've seen in recent memory, because that honor goes to Battlefield Earth. This movie is aggressively bad. And
now I got to watch it.
It's hard to perfectly articulate why. I guess the biggest thing for me would be the violence isn't earned. Like, it's hyper-violent and gory, which is, you know, truer to the comic book. I get that. But it's... Almost every violent scene is not necessary to like what's happening necessarily for like the plot or what's happening at the moment.
Gratuitous violence.
It's gratuitous violence for the sake of gratuitous violence, and you're just kind of like, it's not really my thing.
Meh.
And
it's
even
not moving me.
But even people that I know that are like cool, like yeah, hyper violence, are like even that was a bit much for me. Even, and it's not that I'm like totally against hyper violence, because I've watched Kill Bill 1 and 2, and I love both of those movies, and I like the violence in those because it's purposeful. Like, there's a reason for the violence there. And then this is just like, look at the crazy violent stuff we can do. And it's just so blech. And the whole, like, they try to shoehorn in so many things that just don't work. Like, they do this thing where, you know, maybe monsters aren't so bad. Like, maybe we're being prejudiced against monsters. And it's Hellboy, like, saying this. It's like, but you've been a monster hunter, like, for a long time.
Right.
And then you can't say something like that and then cut to all monsters being monsters and, like, wantonly killing people just for the heck of it. Like, you can't have those two things right next to each other. It just And Mila Jovovich, I struggle to remember a time where, like, I enjoyed her acting-wise in anything, and she is atrocious in this movie. It's
Joan of Arc?
It's just not good. I don't know if I've seen that.
Nope.
Her, right? Is it good? All right.
It's super good. She's real good in it.
Okay. I'll give her that then. But yeah, it was
She
bad.
Was good in like Fifth Element, right? Isn't that her like in Fifth Element?
Yeah. But she, I mean,
she's there. Have, it's not
much
the, movie,
say,
it's
yeah.
not
like
it's because of her.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like, yeah,
it's not an acting
yeah.
showcase for her.
No, multi-pass?
Yeah. Yeah. She does everything that she's supposed to do perfectly fine right. in that movie. It's not like, wow, she's so great in that.
Yeah.
And just the actors that they waste in this. Like, Ian McShane is in this movie, and he has really nothing to do until... can I spoil this movie for you?
Sure.
He dies. He plays Hellboy's dad. And okay. he dies towards the end of the movie. And there's a character in the movie who can, like, connect with a dead person and, like, bring their ghost back to talk to you. Mm-hmm. But it, like, you know, of all the hundreds of thousands of ways you could show a ghost on screen, the ghost has to, like, come out of her mouth in this, like, weird sausage-looking form. And it's just got his face CGI'd onto it. And it's the worst special effect I've seen in all of 2019 is this juggernaut titan of an actor plastered on to this sausage poop looking thing coming out of a median's mouth. It's I was alone
Can't
watching
wait.
This. I was so mad that there's nobody in the room for me to yell at.
What is this garbage?
You're like pointing at the screen like, am I alone here?
Am I the only one seeing this?
I am alone here. God, it's bad.
Right on. That's fun. Man. I mean, yeah.
And like Dave, and when you and if I read more about it, like how did this happen? So I watched the movie and I go, well, how did this happen? Like, how did this happen this way? And the creator of the comic book is like involved in the movie. Like on paper, it
did
sounds
he not like
the
Jin.
He thinks it's great. Like he
the originals.
Loves it.
The originals. What about? I mean, did he not like the original?
The Del Toro.
He wasn't.
Yeah.
Good. He wasn't 100% happy with them because they take some liberties with
the story.
Some of the more fantastical elements of the story, because. Spoiler alert, sometimes things need to be changed when you go from one medium to another because they don't play well. Like in this movie, when you tell me that Hellboy is descended from King Arthur, I roll my eyes.
I did see that.
When I read it in a comic book, I'm like, oh, that's fun. Yeah. But watching it in a movie, I'm like, that is so stupid.
Yeah.
That is so stupid. Ugh, boo.
That's fun. I'm glad you hated
Boo-erns.
It.
I hated
it's
so much.
It's in the movie.
So it's in the movie. It's in the movie.
How about you, Mikey P? See anything?
I've been watching. I do have one that I'm reserving for my pick, but nice. Other than that, gosh, I had something that was really intriguing me. And
he had it
was
on the screen
it,
just now that Daniel Day Kim was in that movie.
America
they
says. How many times have everybody watched?
I've watched it twice.
I think I've watched it four times.
I watched it one more time after we watched it.
Oh, we're talking about the game show?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. I've seen it like probably like 10 times now. Nice.
Right on.
Just like I've sat down and watched it with different people,
yeah.
you know.
It's fun. Yeah, it's fun, fun,
it's
fun.
It's fun.
Yes. Ooh. Not. I mean, it's not.
I get messages every couple of days from somebody who like either DVR'd it and finally got to it or like watched it on
Facebook.
On Facebook, yeah.
Speaking of movie trailers. Top Gun looks good.
Like, I haven't seen that.
Top Gun Maverick looks like it's going to be good. If nothing else, for this, one of the main reasons I love the first Top Gun, my dad's an aviation mechanic. I grew up going to the air show every year. If nothing else, other than
the flight scenes look amazing.
Watching like airplane porn, basically, it's going to be fantastic.
Cool.
The shots in that trailer alone are like, wow.
And that was...
Like,
to
so
our
good.
Earlier point in the show, I saw that in the teaser. I'm like, well, that's enough for me to go see that movie.
Yep.
Like, that is enough.
We'll see. You
that.
Know, I need a little bit more to go see that movie.
Oh,
you
it's
know,
awesome.
Are you not a... Oh, you hadn't even seen Top Gun.
I saw
like,
it eventually.
Right.
Eventually,
but
I, yeah.
When this show started 4 years ago, you had not seen Top Gun.
You're right.
Oh, wow.
You're right.
Which is mind-boggling.
Yeah. And it was almost like by choice. It was kind of by choice.
But why?
Because I didn't want to... Because where I was at in my... early 20s when this came out, uh-huh. right? It came out in the early 90s?
Early
80s. Late
80s.
Mid-80s. Late,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe even at that point. The military complex, for me, that just felt, it was dangerous, and I felt that this was a glorified...
You're right, Ice Man. I am dangerous. See, that's a quote from the movie.
That's good. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your word on that. That's cool. but yeah, I didn't want to see. I didn't want to see a military propaganda movie. Is what
that's how you saw Top Gun?
Yes.
Do you still see Top Gun that way?
I've seen it now, but it was kind of, I mean, honestly, it was a little bit forgettable.
Iron Eagle or what's the other? There's another jet movie around the same time.
Those came, and I couldn't, I mean, I remember Louis Gossett Jr. was in one of those movies.
Iron Eagle.
I couldn't tell you anything about it. Like, I might have seen it, but like, they just didn't speak to me.
Sure.
And probably like I was having like a little counterculture reaction to it, you know, and didn't want to see it. It was the same reason why when Forrest Gump came out, and it was because I was fed to it. Yeah, I was. Yeah, that. Oh, you know, this is a movie that's about, you know, you can be dumb as a bag of rocks, but as long as you love your mama and love your country, everything works out good, you know. And so it's such a better movie than that, but Beth Accomando hates it.
I know, so. I still need to know why.
She hates Top Gun. I don't know what she thinks about Top Gun.
I'd like to find out, so we need to get her back.
I remember thinking, like, when I see, like, seeing the ads for that when it first came out, I'm like,
the new one or the
no, the old right? original Top Gun, and I'm all, dude, that movie's gonna tank. It's awful. And then I watched it, and I'm all, oh, yes, it's time for me to eat my.
Well, Tom Cruise is a movie star. Like, and I've never.
Danger zone.
Somebody call Kenny Loggins.
Dude. I love Top Gun.
I also said the same thing about Friends. I saw the pilot episode. I'm all, that show will never last. It's more than a season.
10 years later.
Whoops.
John Benjamin. The voice for John Benjamin. It's got to keep everything right in the middle back of your throat. Like, talk back into your mouth.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
I like it. Thanks.
I'll have to work on that.
That's how you do it.
Yeah, I'm excited for Top Gun, the sequel.
I'm excited for Star Wars.
Yes. So. Cool. The Wars of Star Wars. Anybody else watch anything else, or should I hit this last button?
Here we go. You got something else?
Just real quick, I don't know if anyone's seen it on Netflix, Magic for Humans.
Did I watch that? I feel like I did watch that.
They had the first season a while back. They just released the second season probably a couple weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, something like that. Totally into it. Yeah. Just cool.
Did you watch the first one?
I watched the first season and kind of watching. I think I've watched the first like three or four.
Was there a bit where he was taking people's phones and throwing them away or making them disappear?
Probably. I mean, he's a lot of it is just like, yeah, he's just doing kind of like crowd magic for people. And like my favorite episode from the first season, he makes somebody believe that he disappeared.
Oh, right. I remember that.
And I'm like, the guy just was totally
messed up.
It involved like 40 cohorts working
together. Yeah, he's just like, yeah, everyone in the park, okay, now this is what's going to happen.
So messed up.
Just ignore, no matter what happens, just ignore him.
Well, no, but yeah, because like, but he's totally sets it up like there's a chair on the other side, so he makes that person like really disappear, like, you know, and then he's all, okay, now we're going to do it with this guy. And he makes him go, like, he's all, it disappeared, and, like, and everyone's like, yeah, like, where'd he go? And, like, you know, he's like, nobody can see me. This is great. And he's, like, walking around and, like, putting his hands in front of people, and they're not reacting. That's so awesome.
Sidetracked to Netflix. What's the new? There's a Ryan Reynolds movie that just dropped on Netflix.
Six Underground.
Yep.
I know nothing about it. True to form, they're like, by the way, we have this, and they just dropped it.
Yeah,
I don't know anything about it.
I haven't even seen a trailer.
I just know that it's there now.
Yeah, I know nothing.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. It sounds pretty cool. And yeah,
Do you know? Is there? Do you know anything about what it's about? Oh, you're watching a movie trailer right now.
Actiony, nice. Assassiny, probably.
It's on the top of the Netflix.
Super assassiny.
I dig it. Well, I'm gonna hit this.
Get it.
From director Michael Bay.
Mikey P. Recommends.
Recommend The Repair Shop, also on Netflix. Mostly I'm speaking to you, Jared. This show is amazing.
Is it a maker show?
It is. Okay. It's like, and I'm going to talk about this one because I'm loving it. It's like the British Bake Off, basically, except for repair artisans. So people, each one has kind of their own specialty. People bring in their cherished items, and these people just do their magic on it, and it's so cool. I mean, even if you like, I mean, it speaks to the maker and, you know, kind of the repair guy in me, but even if you're not that person, it just
it's fascinating to watch craftsmen do their thing.
So heartwarming, the stories, you know, like these items obviously mean something to these people, and it's amazing. It's just called The Repair Shop on Netflix. And
I got
it's
a
great.
Question.
I already answered them
you
all.
Get to- okay, all right, there we go. Is anybody going to stop me?
Not this time. Not this time.
So, in the spirit of the holidays, give thanks once again.
Yes.
For you guys and for this show, and especially coming up with Jared about to have a baby.
Yes.
And things are going to change a little bit.
A little bit.
So we're going to have to figure how to roll with those, which I'm sure we're going to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm super thankful to have my mom here for 80 years. If you know me, I don't know if you're just a listener. I hope it comes across that I'm a really nice guy, like a super nice guy.
On this
guy.
Show, not at all.
Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe on the internet you wouldn't know that. But
it does.
But I owe that to my mother, to the example that she's always set for us to be good people. And when we were doing her birthday and contacting folks from her past to make little testimonials about it, the effect that she's had on folks has been huge. And so on her 80th birthday, thank you, Mom. I love you.
Thank you, BJ.
She's crying. Way to go, BJ.
That's the plan.
Good job.
Call your mom, everybody.
Yep.
Yes.
I was going to wet my pants. There it is.
I don't know why that is. It was so sweet up until that moment, BJ.
I just don't know when to stop.
Why would you? Why would you never say that right then? It doesn't make any sense to me.
Inappropriate.
Can you cut that out, please?
No. Never. We'll never, ever cut it out. But there's this, too.
A friend like me.
That is so lovely.
You're welcome, world. But on those notes, Merry Christmas out there.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good holiday season.
Happy Hanukkah.
We'll see you guys next time talking about Star Wars. So go out and
will
see
it be
that
the
movie.
New year when the Nilkson will have to look at the calendar?
Maybe.
I could do that real
but
fast.
I also really kind of want to do like our favorites from like 2019 for like the one after Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
So if it is, then.
It will be. It'll be the. It will be because this one is going to come out on the 30th.
Correct.
And then the one after that's going to be on the 5th. So it'll be the 6th. It'll be the new year.
No, this one comes out on like 4 days from now,
which
is
not
the 30th. 22nd?
Oh, so this is before Christmas.
Correct.
Okay.
Pre-Christmas.
That's why. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Anyway, thanks, Heather, for listening. This has been Laughs of Binge. I'm Jared.
I'm BJ.
I'm Rich.
And I'm Mike.
And
we'll
Stan. Yep,
there you go.
Yay.
Yay.
I know you're moving a thing.
On the couch.
Life's a binge. Bow, 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 bow,
bow.
Right?
This has been a Life's a Binge production. Be sure and leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever else you find the show.
Nice,
you can find us on all social media at Life's a Binge. Send us an email at lifesabinge@gmail.com. Join the phone army by dialing 619-438-0532. And if all else fails, check out our website at lifesabinge.com. Thanks for listening, and as always, we'll see you on the couch.
What could I do? Okay, all right.